there has been this watering down of the word to appease people so that they're comfortable and so that we don't lose followers and so that we're not canceled.
We are definitely in a state of Jesus is my homeboy, it was cool, whatever.
Which yeah.
I think the idea of reverential fear is so critical. Mm. The most sobering scripture ever, Matthew 7, people who are, you know, healing in the name of Jesus, prophesying and doing all these good deeds in the name of Jesus. And he looks at them and he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The thought of knowing all these celebrities and having all these money and flying on private jets, and you get to the judgment seat of Christ. And he says, I'm sorry, you are.
Hey, you guys, welcome to In Totality, a place where we celebrate authenticity and openness. We're here for those who are willing to explore, those who embrace imperfections, and for those with open hearts and minds. I'm excited to embark on this journey with you, and while I can't predict every twist and turn, I'm certain that God will be by our side with every step of obedience. Welcome to In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley.
Welcome back, you guys. Welcome back to In Totality. I'm your guest. Why would I say that? I'm your guest. I'm not your guest, but I guess, I mean, if I'm in your home, I'm your guest, I guess. But I'm your host, Megan Ashley, and I have a guest here today. I'm so happy that you guys are back and joining me. I have an amazing guest who I just love and adore. She is somebody who has just blessed me in recent time, and I'm really excited to introduce her to the In Totality audience. So without further ado, Nona Jones is here. Yay! Virtual claps, everybody, virtual claps. I'm so excited you're here.
I'm so excited to
thank
be here.
You. Oh, thank no. you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How are you feeling?
Girl, I feel good.
Yeah. How? So this is a new year.
It's a new year, new season. It's everything's new.
How do you feel about the new year?
I'm feeling really good.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, you know, this is probably the first time in my life where I feel like I'm stepping into a new chapter that hasn't been written by me.
Yeah.
It's been written by God.
I love that.
I'm not going to say I'm a control freak, but I'm the type of person that likes to know what's going on in life.
Same.
2024, God was like, just follow me.
I love that. So, yeah. I feel like this is the first year that I actually feel encouraged. Mm. Like, I feel like it's been rough for some years. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel for me, at least, since like 2018-ish, like even going all the way back, like our world has just been crazy from, you know, social injustice to politics to the pandemic to
there
just
was a pandemic?
2020. Just I'm saying from that year, from 2018 on, it's just been like something, you know, every year it's been heavy. But this year, I don't feel as heavy this year. I feel like God is going to do some amazing things this year. Yeah. I feel encouraged.
It's like, I feel like 2024, because I'm not the type of person that makes resolutions.
The decoration. Yeah.
I'm not one of those types of people. I've never been one of those types of people. But toward the end of 2023, it's like God literally spoke to me that I'm turning a corner in 2024.
I love
that. It's a new chapter, new season.
So, yeah. I feel that too. Yeah. I feel that too. I love that. Okay. So I have some icebreaker questions before we get into the meat and potatoes of all of it.
All right.
So just some icebreaker questions just to have a little fun. What is your favorite quote? Do you have a favorite quote?
Ooh, I have so many. So I'm a voracious reader. Okay. Like, I read a book a week. I love to read.
That's the level I'm trying to be on. A book a week. It takes me. I'm going to get better, though. I'm going to get better.
I don't know. Like, but see, so, okay, quick caveat. So I'm an only child. And I grew up in a home where there was a lot of chaos, a lot of dysfunction. And so reading became my escape.
Mm.
And so that's where my love of reading came from. Mm. So I have so many quotes I love. But there's one in particular that this man, Nathaniel Rutstein, he said, and that is that prejudice is an emotional commitment to ignorance.
Mm.
And the reason why I love that is because if you think about it, prejudice requires pride.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it requires this belief that I know better than anybody else, but it's not just an intellectual pride, it's an emotional pride. Mm. And so you have to literally have an emotional commitment to staying the same and not growing and not learning. And so that's one of my favorite.
Remind me of that later, because I have some questions about that. An emotional commitment?
Yeah.
That's deep. Okay. Yeah. If you had to pick one type of food to eat for the rest of your life, what culture of food, like Mexican, Italian, African, Mediterranean, like what, whatever, what food would you pick to eat for the rest of your life if you had to?
Oh God. So I am a foodie. So you literally just stabbed me in my heart. Like I love just trying, like I went to a restaurant. I was in Oklahoma City last night. I went to a restaurant, just random restaurant, and I ordered a dessert and I asked the lady to describe, cause I couldn't tell what it was because it was like in a different language. It was Lao. Mm-hmm. And she was like, well, it's like a coconut soup with like some gelatinous kind of like something in it. And I was just like, okay, let me try it. So like when you say one type, I'm like, ah, but man, I would say Nigerian and Mediterranean.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then probably Italian and Thai and Lao. And if I can only pick one.
You just picked
six. I know. But I love Nigerian food. Okay. I love like peppers. I love a lot of flavor. Okay. Yeah.
So Thai is my favorite food. I can eat Thai food morning, noon, evening for the rest of my life.
What's your favorite dish though?
I love basil fried rice.
Oh, come on.
With a little bit of spice.
That's good.
Yeah. And like in spring rolls. Mm-hmm. Like if you just want me to just fall in love with you, order me some Thai food and you will have my loyalty forever. Oh. It's sad, but yeah, I love Thai food. I can eat
that
forever.
We can do it.
Okay. What's your favorite workout and your least favorite workout?
Favorite, I would say I love running. Now, I was not always a runner, but as part of my weight loss journey, which I'm sure we'll talk about, I became a runner. So I love going for just a run, especially in new places because I travel a lot. So going for a run is my favorite because I can like take in the sights if it's a pretty place. There are some places you run and it's just like, it's just cement and there's nothing. So there's that. Least favorite, probably muscle training of any sort. Like I just.
Yeah, weight train stuff.
Oh man. Like just the like push-ups and sit-ups and the split squats and just, I don't like that.
Same. At all. And I think that's what the enemy uses to keep me away from the gym. Because the thought of it.
Just
the thought of it. I quit before I even started. I won't do one just by the thought of doing 10. Like, I just can't. I hate weight training. I hate muscle. Like, I hate it. But I don't need a whole lot of cardio because I'm so small. So I just don't. But it's good for you, too. But working out. Y'all got to pray for me. I told Brandy I was going to do better in 2024.
But you look so good.
And we can get into it now because weight loss has been. It's a thing. It's the top of the new year. So everybody wants to lose weight, right? Everybody wants to get healthier. And a lot of people ask me, you know, about my weight loss journey because I used to be a lot heavier than I am now.
Yeah.
I mean, pushing 200. I mean,
And you're 5'2", so that's significant.
I'm 5'. Yeah. And I'm short. So, but I was, when I moved here, I was about probably close to 180. Mm. And I just struggled with ever since I had kids, I just struggled. Like I tried to do it the right way. I would diet. I would try different diets. I would work out. I had a trainer. Mm. I did all the things and I just could not lose the weight. And unfortunately I went into a really bad depression in 2021 and I dropped so much weight and I've been able to keep it off, which I'm thankful for. I hate that it happened in the way it did, but I'm thankful that I lost the weight, but that's a struggle for a lot of people. And I know that you've had a significant weight loss journey and you've been able to maintain it. Mm-hmm. So what started that and how do you maintain it now?
Yeah, well, I laughed because I was at a restaurant one day and I was eating a brownie and this woman, she walked over to me and she said, "It must be nice to be able to eat stuff like that and be skinny." And I laughed because I was like, "Ma'am, I don't have a skinny gene in my body."
Right.
If you only knew my story. But yeah, I've maintained a 110 pound weight loss for the last almost 11 years. But the struggle for me actually started in childhood. So I referenced earlier that I had a really chaotic childhood. My mom was very like mentally, physically, verbally abusive to me. Her boyfriend sexually abused me as well, starting at the age of 5. And after the first assault happened, he told me, "You better not tell your mom because she'll get rid of you." And so I didn't say anything for a couple of years and he was repeatedly abusing me. I didn't say anything. But after I finally said something, I told my mom, she had him arrested and I thought it was over. But on the day of his release from jail, she took me with her to pick him up and brought him back home. And I was about 8. Lord. And I just remember him getting in the car and there was like this smirk on his face, right? And so the abuse resumed. And like I said, my mom was physically abusive. And so I started to take refuge in just food. Like my mom, she would keep all types of sweets in the house. And so I would eat them. I remember being like this little kid. I would eat a whole package of Chips Ahoy, like the two containers. I would eat the whole thing in one sitting.
I mean, I could do that too.
Listen, I would, but I was like 8.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
I would eat that. I would eat like the Oreo cookies. I would have, you know, if she cooked dinner, I would have like 2-3 helpings of food. Like I used food to anesthetize the pain of what I was feeling. I didn't know it then, but of course I know now. And so I gained a lot of weight. I was teased relentlessly. My classmates called me Miss Piggy. They called me Fatty Pants, all these things. And throughout my life, you know, especially when I got into high school, you know, I wanted to be a skinny girl. I wanted to lose weight. So I tried, you know, I didn't know about health and fitness, but I tried things like just eating less. And I eventually discovered that you could throw up your food. And so I kind of descended into bulimia for a long time. And
at what age did you start that?
I was probably 14. And I would eat, you know, just binge, eat all this food and then purge. And I lost some weight until I was about 17 or 18. Graduated high school, went into college. I maintained my weight loss through college. But when I got married and started having children, it's like, I gained it back. I got to the point where I was almost 300 pounds. I was like, I was about 280 pounds, something like that. I was about 100 pounds heavier than you, but I'm also like 5'7", so I'm a little bit taller. But I remember feeling just so hopeless. Like I tried, girl, everything. I tried the apple cider vinegar diet, Atkins. Low carb, no carb, Weight Watchers. I tried Jenny Craig. I tried it all. And I would lose a few pounds.
Yeah.
But I would always gain it back with interest. Same, like always.
You guys, this episode of In Totality with me, your host, Megan Ashley, is sponsored by BetterHelp. What's the first thing you do if you had an extra hour in your day? Really, think about it, guys. A lot of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. The question is, time for what? If time was unlimited, how would you use it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Listen, you guys, I have been in therapy for a year, and it has helped me so much. I mean, tremendously, in helping me find what really matters to me the most. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/totality today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show. All right, guys, before we continue on with this episode, just a quick announcement. Black representation in media is super important to our community as it promotes diversity, challenges stereotypes, and allows for more authentic storytelling. It helps foster a sense of belonging and can positively impact societal perceptions and breaking down biases. Tabitha Brown, Ava DuVernay, Viola Davis, Issa Rae all have made significant contributions to film, television, and media, paving the way for more diversity and inclusion. The next generation of influential Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collection, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. Every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black stories and Black truths. I recently listened to an episode entitled A Taste of Freedom. This episode talks about Juneteenth and the day that the enslaved Texans found out more than 2 years after Emancipation Day that they were free. Black perspectives haven't always been centered in the telling of America's story. Now, they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcast that center Black voices. It's NPR's Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices that are varied, nuanced, and Black. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR wherever you get podcasts. All right, guys, back to the show. It's the with interest.
With interest, child. Sure. And I think the turning point was my youngest son. I remember I was laying in bed one day and he was in his crib crying. He was down the hall, not mm-hmm. far, just down the hall. And I got up to walk down to his room. And by the time I got to the doorway, I was out of breath. Like I was out of breath. My joints ached. And I decided in that moment, I can't live like this anymore. Mm-hmm. Like I would take my babies to the park and I couldn't even play with them because I was just tired. So I decided then, I was like, you know what? I got to make a change. Yeah. And I'm going to do something I've never done before. I'm going to eat right and exercise.
Isn't it crazy like this?
I want to do something I've never done.
For 10 years. You know what? I'm going to try something new. I'm going to eat right. Isn't that crazy?
I'm going to eat right exercise. So
and just being consistent in it, like yes. committing to it.
That weekend I went to Barnes & Noble and again, I'm a voracious reader. So I got a book called Weight Loss for Dummies and I read the book cover to cover and I cleaned out my pantry. I got rid of all the high fat, sugary foods.
Wow.
And I committed. I was like, all right, Monday morning, I'm going to the gym. I'm going to work out. And so that Sunday night, it was in the winter. It was cold. I set my alarm and I was like, all right, I'm going to wake up 6 a.m. going to the gym. I laid down that night. I was so excited. I'm going to go to the gym, work out. Girl, that alarm went off in the dark coldness of the morning. And I was like, no. I can't do this. I hadn't even done anything.
It's so relatable because I know so many people can relate to that where you get like, you do the meal prep, you got your workout outfit, you got your gym bag, I'm going to go, you sign up for the gym membership and then the morning comes.
Right. And I was like,
and you're like, this bed feels good. Yes. And that it makes no sense for me to get up and go work out right now.
But you know what I did in that moment that I had never done before is I prayed. Like I didn't allow myself to give into the feeling of defeat. Yeah. I said, God, I cannot do this in my own power.
Yeah.
I need yours.
Yeah.
And I got out of that bed and I went and put on those workout clothes and I drove through the darkness to the gym and I did my little 30 minutes on the elliptical and I got back home and I've never looked back.
Wow.
And every morning I would pray the same prayer. God, I don't want to do this.
Wow.
I don't want to do this. Wow. I don't have the power to do this. I need yours. And he gave me the grace to commit to it. And mind you, listen, I was not a runner when I started off, but I would see people like running down the street. I admired them because I was like, nobody's chasing you. Like, why?
Are you?
Like, what is
the purpose
this?
Of that?
Yeah,
for sure.
But I admired them and I wanted to be them. Yeah. And so I decided to sign up for a half marathon. That was like maybe, I think it was maybe 7 months later.
Wow.
And I downloaded the Couch to 5K app on my phone and I did the program. And then I graduated from that to the 5K to 10K app.
Wow.
And then I graduated from that and I started training for my half marathon. And girl, I crossed the finish line of my half marathon. I was 60 pounds lighter. And I told myself, I was like, this is the first and last race I'm ever doing. But when I crossed that finish line, I was so flooded with emotion that when I got back to the hotel, I registered for another race.
Wow.
And I've done 15 up to this point.
No way.
Yeah, I'm doing another one next month.
No way. Yeah. How? Okay, so the one next month, how long is that?
It's a half marathon.
Half marathon. 13.1 okay.
miles, yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can run 0.13 miles.
So let me tell you, I felt that way too. Like, I remember when I was training. So I was training for the 5K. Mm-hmm. I could not finish the 5K. Like, I signed up for a 5K mm-hmm. after doing the program. Mm-hmm. I was like, I could do a 5K. I couldn't even finish that. And then one of my coworkers, who was a true elite runner at the time, he said, Nona, if you can run a 5K, you can run a marathon. Keep going.
Wow.
That thing stayed with me. And here we are.
I love that. I love that. So if you had to kind of encourage anybody in that journey and starting that journey, especially moms who have children mm-hmm. whose bodies have changed, right? Because that's a big thing mm-hmm. when your body changes and it's not responding the way it used to respond anymore. What does that, like, what encouragement can you give to them? And when you have children, like, I noticed in what you said you cleared out your pantry. So it was not just a lifestyle change for you. I'm sure the whole house had to change, right?
Listen, my husband, my husband was like, why are we on a diet?
We're fine.
Like, we're okay. And I was like, no, I need you to be on this journey with me. Yeah. I don't have the discipline yet.
Yeah.
Now I'm okay. Like, he can walk in the house and he does. He can walk in the house with cupcakes and just leave them on the counter. And I'm like, all right. But then, they would have been gone.
Gone. Yeah. For sure. For sure.
Yeah.
So changing everybody's lifestyle is really important too.
Yeah. 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 I think the encouragement. I would give the encouragement that I gave myself. Mm-hmm. Here's what's funny. God is he's so smart. I started off with an accountability partner. Like, there was this young lady who she also wanted to lose weight. And so we were like, we're going to do this thing together. Mm-hmm. Well, our first workout was supposed to be like a mile walk around a park. She didn't show up. So I was there and she never showed up. And so I called her and she was like, oh, something came up and I couldn't do it. So I went ahead and did the thing. Mm-hmm. The next day, she didn't show up again. And I called her. She's like, oh, something came up. I decided in that moment that I would be my accountability partner. I decided in that moment that I was not going to allow the vision I had for my future to be in any way contingent on somebody else's decision. And so I committed to do it myself. Mm-hmm. And so that would be my first encouragement is, go it alone, whether somebody's with you or not, make the commitment to yourself. The second thing is, you're going to hit plateaus.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. Like, there's going to come times where you're like, man, I just did everything. I ate all the right things. I worked out and the scale didn't change. Mm-hmm. What I had to learn to do is to allow plateaus to be my motivation to work harder.
Yeah.
Don't let your plateau become the thing that discourages you.
Yeah.
Let it be a sign that what got you this far won't take you any further.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to change something. Yeah. Maybe I increase the resistance at which I'm running. Mm. Maybe I change up the workout regimen, but you have to break through that plateau.
Yeah.
And then allow your success to be your inspiration. Mm. You know, like, if you drop a pound, man, clap for yourself. Yeah. You don't need everybody else to clap for you. Some people they're not going to notice, but you saw
but
the
you
pound.
Know.
Clap for yourself and then just trust the process.
Yeah.
It's a process. Mm-hmm. And because it's a process, there are steps to it.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. There's an organization called the Statistic Brain Research Institute, and they found that like 90% of the people who make a commitment to lose weight in the new year fail. Right?
Yeah.
There's another 10% that go on to lose the weight, but about 90% of that 10% don't keep it off. Less than 1% of people actually lose weight and keep it off. And what made the difference is that those 1% of people saw their setbacks as an opportunity to work harder.
Wow.
Not as something to be discouraged
about. Failure. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, that'd be my
encouragement. That was a big thing for me. Like, if I... Maybe not so much like the failure for me was something would come up and it would knock me off my normal schedule.
Oh yeah.
And I'm a schedule person. Like, once I get into a routine, I'm good all day. Once I get into like a habit, I'm good all day. But the second something, my kid is sick, something happens, you know, my car needs my tire pop or just anything crazy happens and it throws me off my schedule.
Yeah.
Then I'm off.
Yep.
Then I'm off. And what you said, not letting that be, you know, stopping me, but using that as like, okay, recommit, restart, just get back in it.
And to that point, the other thing I had to learn is you don't need a milestone. Mm-hmm. Like, some people, they'll get off track and they'll be like, all right, I'll get back on track Monday.
Yeah.
Or next month.
Yeah.
Or next year.
Yeah.
No. next minute.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, so I ate this thing I shouldn't have eaten. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to drink more water today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to work out this afternoon. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm going to commit in the next minute to change. I'm not going to wait for another week, another month, another year.
I love that.
But doing that and using every minute.
Yeah.
You can be a different person in the next minute than you are in this moment.
Yeah.
You don't have to wait for a new year. You don't have to wait for another week. Make the decision and change.
Yeah, because new starts when you decide.
That's right.
When you decide that you want something new, that's when new starts.
That's when it starts.
Whether it's January 1st or July 2nd.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Whenever you decide to start something new, that's when, you know, whenever you're ready for decide, like, I'm going to do something new, that's when it happens.
And we're back on Dealing Together, where we help good people who fell for bad deals. First caller?
I had to buy 3 identical sweaters to get the 4th free.
Ooh, you got fleeced. Next caller, what's your deal?
I paid for 20 tanning sessions, but had to use them in a month. Now I'm orange.
Ooh, you got burned. Next caller?
I traded in my old Samsung at AT&T for a new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus.
How's that bad?
I got to choose from their best plans.
So what went wrong?
Oh, nothing went wrong.
And you're calling to...
to request a song?
You want a song. Of course.
The choice is yours.
Our best smartphone deals. Your choice of plan. Learn how to get the new Samsung Galaxy S24 Plus with Galaxy AI on us with eligible trade-in. AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Offers vary by device. Subject to change. S24 plus 256GB offer available for a limited time. Terms and restrictions apply. See att.com/Samsung for details.
And I think the other thing that I see a lot of people do, especially like in the weight loss journey, is they try to pick a specific event. Like, I'm going to lose weight for the summer.
Yeah,
I'm going to lose weight for this wedding. Yeah. I'm going to lose weight for this event. And I think if you're doing that, I think that's setting yourself up for failure. Absolutely. Because instead of just going into it, like, I'm going to make a lifestyle change.
That's it.
And even if by that event, if you haven't lost the weight, but if you're committed to the lifestyle change, by the next time something comes around, you know, you'll be kind of better, in a better position than where you were. So I think doing that, it's a decision and it's a lifestyle change. And it's not something like, I am not the expert, nor do I have any business talking about committing to being healthier. But I don't think it's any different than your spiritual health.
That's it.
And
that's,
I think when I made the, I know that I can do it physically because I know I did it spiritually. Mm-hmm. And when I made the decision to be healthier spiritually and not just, I just want to, you know, I'm going to look up a scripture to encourage a friend, or I just want to look up a scripture so that my caption on Instagram can be good, or, you know, but just I wake up and read scripture because I love God and I want to know him.
You know, through this journey, I found, and I kind of knew it at the beginning, but it's become really real to me now, that there is literally a connection between our spiritual health and our physical health. Like, the way that our physical health expresses itself is an indicator of what is happening to us spiritually and mentally.
Yeah.
As I started to get healthy, it's like, I got healthy in every dimension. It wasn't just that my body became more fit. It was like I was spending so much more time with God. The quality of the time I was spending with God was so rich. Yeah. My mind was clearer and sharper. Yeah. Things. And I realized too that the physical weight I was carrying was actually just a manifestation of the spiritual weight I was carrying. And as I started to just like get free from some of the things that I had been struggling with spiritually, it's like I found that well of discipline. Physically.
Yeah.
Because the spirit and the flesh are at war with each other all the time. Right. And so if the flesh is winning, right. And that's how it looks when we're not healthy. If the flesh is winning, that means something's going on in our spirit. Mm. So they're related.
Yeah. I see that a lot too. And I think disciplining your flesh, it helps produce a more healthier spiritual life.
Absolutely.
When you are committed to disciplining your flesh, and that can look like a lot of things.
Yeah.
It can look like working out. It can look like dieting or eating healthy. It can look like watching what you say, watching what you watch.
Watching what you watch. Watching who you with. Watching where your feet going at night. Watching who you texting.
Yeah. All that.
All that.
It's disciplining your flesh and saying, God, especially for those who are deciding to have a relationship with Christ and are pursuing this godly lifestyle and who want to live holy and righteous, which I know is an unpopular opinion nowadays. I know a lot of people don't want to live righteous and holy. But for those of you who do want to live righteous and holy, there is something to be said about crucifying your flesh. Because when you do, like I was talking to my mom about this earlier today because she loves Enoch. She's like, I want to be, she said this my entire life. I want to be like Enoch. I want to walk with God until I am not.
Come on.
And I told her, we were talking about it this morning. And I always looked at that when, you know, when she would say that and when I would read about Enoch and I would always look at it. I thought Enoch just evaporated out of the sky, which I'm assuming that's what he did. But when she brought it up to me today and I was like, you know what, Mom, I want to walk with God.
Yeah.
I want to walk with Christ until I am not. And not in the sense of like evaporating, right? Or just disappearing. But I want Megan to disappear.
Come on.
Don't want any of this. I don't want any of, and not just like I'm a zombie or, you know, like a mummy. But like all of the fleshly desires that I have, all the fleshly wants that I have, I want everything that I am to be, that is not of God, to be dead so that he can fully inhabit all of me.
Yes.
And when you do that, it motivates you to live a physically healthier life because you realize that this doesn't belong to you, that this is a vessel. I am a vessel to proclaim the name of Christ, to proclaim God's word and for his name to be glorified. So in order to do that and to do it well, I have to take care of this temple.
So it's funny because speaking of temple, I think I have it.
I love that you have your Bible.
Oh, of course. We gotta have the word. We gotta have the word with us. But you know, in reading, I think, First Peter 2:5, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are literally the temple of the Spirit of God.
Yeah.
And so what we do with the outer casing of the temple matters.
It matters.
We take the Spirit of God into every place that we go, what we eat, what we do, this is the Spirit of God, the temple of God. And so I do think we have to steward it well. We have to steward it to his glory.
I've felt more convicted about that because I have dropped so much weight and I've been able to keep it off, but it hasn't always been healthy. Do you know what I'm saying? Like working out and eating healthy. And I don't want to take advantage of just being small but not living healthy. Yeah. And so lately, the more I've like, you know, just gone deeper with God, I feel more convicted about taking care of my physical health and being more mindful to steward this temple the right way so that he can do all that he's supposed to, that he wants to do in me.
Yeah.
But it's like, I have a responsibility to take care of this. He's not going to just, you know, make, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, oh, no, you have a decision. You have free will. You have to make the decision. And so I think, I pray that that's helpful to people that are in both ways, whether you want to lose weight or maybe you are small, but you're just not living healthy. Either way, it's like just, you know, disciplining this flesh
because
is hard.
Because God designed, so I was a microbiology and cell science major. So I love everything, anatomy, physiology, all that. Our body is a living miracle.
Mm.
You know, as someone who loves science, it's always funny to me how people say science and faith are at odds with each other. When in fact, science simply points to the wonder of God.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the human body and how it's designed, everything at the cellular level, the molecular level, all the way up to the tissues and the organs and the organ system and, you know, us being an organism, they work together perfectly. Yeah. But we can create chaos within this perfect system depending on how we treat our body.
Yeah.
And for years, I was living in chaos. I was pre-diabetic. Like I was heading down that path. And if I had crossed that threshold, I would have had nobody to blame but me. Because it wasn't genetic.
Yeah.
It was because of what I was doing to my temple.
Yeah.
And so I think we just have to honor it. Because look, I don't just want to live a life. I don't even want to just live a long life. I want to enjoy my life.
That part.
Too many of us are getting to the place where we're working hard. We're thinking, oh, I'm going to save up and I'm going to retire one day. Mm-hmm. But you retire and you have so many health problems that you can't enjoy your life.
Yeah.
And God wants us to enjoy our life. Yeah. That's why he's given us these principles and ways to live and to steward and to honor our physical temple by honoring him.
Yeah.
So that we'll have joy and we'll experience joy.
Yeah. I think that, that's a good point, is that God wants you to enjoy your life.
Wants you to.
He wants you to enjoy your life. Mm-hmm. And I think that that gets missed sometimes because we can slip into like legalism with God, and it's, and it feels like you got to do this, you got to do, and it doesn't feel like, oh, is there any joy in the faith? Yeah. Is there any,
you got to do this so that you can experience the joy of God, right? Like it's even staying out of certain things so that you can experience the joy of God.
Yeah.
God has never given us a law or a rule that was not for our benefit.
Yes. Yes.
Like there's not one that wasn't for our benefit. And the enemy will have us believe, oh yeah, he just doesn't want you to experience joy. It's like, no, he's actually trying to protect you from the pain of what may be initial fun.
Yep.
But there's always a cost on the back end.
So, and he's, and the enemy is not new in his tricks. The same thing that he did with Eve.
Exactly.
Did he really say he just doesn't want you to, you know, and it's, and that those things can slip into your, do you really got to go to the gym?
Exactly.
You could just sleep. That's good. You need rest.
Yeah.
It's like, so
you want that chocolate chip cookie, you know,
you deserve it. You've had a bad day. You've had a long day. Right. So it's just like, it's really just admitting your decision. Like I'm making a decision. Yeah.
Making a decision.
Mentally, spiritually, I'm making a decision physically to be healthier. Yeah. So I pray that everybody in 2024, I'm going to do better. Y'all hold me accountable. Seriously.
I'll be checking on you.
Yes,
like, hey,
please.
Sis.
This episode of In Totality is brought to you by McDonald's Best Burgers Ever. McDonald's classic burgers are hotter, juicier, and tastier than ever before. So much so that Hamburglar is on the loose. The patties are cooked to juicy perfection. The cheese is perfectly melted. The Big Mac has more special sauce in every bite. They're topped with a pillow soft golden bun. These are truly McDonald's best classic burgers ever. Or in the words of the Hamburglar,
rubble, rubble.
Try McDonald's Best Burgers Ever at a McDonald's near you. Okay, guys, back to the show.
Send me the workouts. I saw your post today and I was like, I need to get me one of those workout things on the wall where I could just, because I don't like going to the gym. Yeah. I like being at home. And I think going to the gym, the drive from here to the gym,
that's a discouragement in of itself.
I will sit in the parking lot. I have before sat at the gym parking lot for an hour, over an hour, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I was like, you could have been had your workout done. You in your car scrolling, trying to find every reason, waiting for somebody at your kid's school to call to come pick them up, waiting for a tragedy so you don't have to go in the gym.
Yeah.
That's not okay. So this year, y'all hold me accountable. Everybody in this room, hold me accountable. I have to do better. I got to do better.
You can do it.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. So I want to go back. I first saw you preach back in 2023. I think it was summertime. Mm-hmm. And you, and I was in like a really heartbroken place. Just so much was going on in my life. Recently divorced, recently moved into this home. Yeah. My first time ever living by myself, on my own, paying bills, on my, just all the things. And just transitioning out of, you know, what my last podcast and all the things were going on. Mm-hmm. And you preached about rejection. Mm-hmm. And it, when I say it changed so much in me, only in one reason being because I don't think I ever identified that I battled with rejection.
Yeah.
Like I might have, like, you know how it can, you can feel it a little bit, but not be able to identify or articulate what that is. Mm-hmm. And the way that you shared your story, it put so much language to what I had been feeling for so long. And I know that it would be so encouraging to everybody, but when it comes to rejection, and I know you wrote a book about this.
Yeah, it's coming out.
It's coming out soon. So, okay, it's coming out this year. I'm really excited. I can't wait. I'm going to be, y'all know me. Y'all know, once I read a book and I love it, I send it to everybody I know. So y'all get ready for Nona's book. Please let me know when they come, because I will send it to everybody.
Yes.
But rejection is such a strong tool that the enemy uses to discourage people. Yeah. So just tell us kind of where that began with you. I know we talked about your upbringing. I'm sure that stemmed from that. And yeah, how did you, when was it first introduced? And how can you get out of that? Like, how do you overcome years of rejection? And it in the ways that it shows up, because it shows up in different ways.
Yeah. Like, first of all, I thank God for the revelation he gave me about rejection, because for so long I saw rejection as something to be discouraged by, as something to be hurt by. But God just opened my eyes to the truth, which is he can take rejection, turn it around, and make it work for your good and his glory. And how he does that is what's powerful. So I shared earlier how I had a really crazy childhood. My mother would regularly remind me that she didn't want me. She shouldn't have had me. She would call me names. When I was in school, teachers would ostracize me. I got sent to the principal's office. When I got older, I ended up in some relationships where I was cheated on. The guy who I thought I was going to marry got another girl pregnant. Just rejection after rejection after rejection. Had a situation professionally where I was in a job I loved, and some things happened where I experienced rejection there. And I just always felt like I just, I had the sense that I wasn't good enough, right? Like, rejection made me feel like something was wrong, with me. Like, I was defective. And even with my mom, I remember being like, what did I do? Like, what did I do that was so wrong that you just would tell me you didn't want me, that you would let your boyfriend hurt me in this way, knowing what he was doing. And I kind of wore my rejection like a coat, you know, like I just felt like something was wrong with me. And as I was kind of doing some self-work to try to really excavate how my rejection was showing up in my life, the Lord helped me to see that it was showing up in my success, which is not the normal way you would think rejection would show up, because you would think rejection would show up as, you know, feeling insecure, feeling less than. Well, God gave me a revelation that rejection can actually create success by making you do one of two things. Success can be achieved by either running toward your future, which is you have a vision for your future, you're excited about it, you're called to it, or success can be achieved by running from your past, which is, there's something that I want to escape from. And so I want to create a new identity through achievement. And that's how rejection showed up in my life. I was an executive at the age of 23 for a very large corporation. From there, got recruited to a bunch of big companies, higher promotions, bigger salaries, bigger, you know, platforms, bigger teams, global teams, doing all this stuff. And at every single promotion, I still felt like I was worthless. Like, there was still this nagging sense that something was wrong with me.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And so, to make a long story short, I was reading the story of David and Goliath one day, and I think everyone knows how, you know, David just like shows up and, you know, Goliath is taunting the Israelites, you know, hey, y'all send me your best warrior. If he kills me, then, you know, we'll surrender. But if I kill him, then y'all have to surrender. And David shows up. He's actually just bringing his brother's lunch because his brothers were in the military. And he overhears what Goliath is saying. And so he's like, who is this Philistine to say something against the people of God, right? Like, what? Saul overhears him. King Saul overhears him. And Saul's like, you, come here for a second. What are you talking about? He was like, look, I'll fight him. Saul looked at him and was like, you can't fight Goliath. Like, you're just a little boy. And he has been a warrior since his youth. What's powerful is in that moment, actually, let me read it, because I think it's always good to hear the words of God. Yeah. So in that moment, okay, this is 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning at verse 32. So David says to Saul, let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him. Saul says, you're not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him because you're only a young man. He has been a warrior from his youth. But David said to Saul, your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, I struck it, and I rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, I struck it, and I killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them because he has defied the armies of the living God. This is the important part. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. So Saul told David, go and the Lord be with you. Now we all know that David was victorious that day. We know that he killed Goliath. But what we don't know is that the reason why David was able to defeat Goliath is because of how he was treated by his family. Because if you actually go back, I think this is in chapter 16. When the prophet Samuel came to David's father's house, Jesse, looking for the next king, because God told Samuel that there was going to be another king and it was going to be in Jesse's household. Jesse is asked by Samuel to bring all of his sons so that he can meet them. Jesse brings seven of his sons to Samuel. Samuel looks at all of them and doesn't see that God has chosen any of them. Well, Samuel asked Jesse, are these all the sons you have? And Jesse immediately says, oh no, they're still the youngest. He's out there in the field keeping the sheep. And so Samuel said, well, bring him. Like, we're not going to sit down until he gets here. When David showed up, that's when Samuel said, that's the king. But the part that we miss is that Jesse knew where David was. Like, Jesse knew exactly where David was when Samuel said, bring all your sons. It wasn't that Jesse didn't know where he was. It's that he did not invite him. And that experience of rejection is exactly like being left out in a field by yourself while everybody's meeting with the prophet, right? Like, you're just left. People know where you are, but they don't invite you. That's what rejection is like. But what God helped me to realize as I was rereading this story is that David didn't defeat Goliath in spite of his rejection. He defeated him because of his rejection. Like, that field was a training ground for the glory that God had for David. There were things David learned in that field that he could not have learned if he was accepted, if he was invited. And so that revelation is what made me start to say, Lord, what can you teach me from all of these experiences I've had, all these times I've been left out, overlooked, called names, uninvited? What are you trying to teach me about myself and about others? And that's when I realized that rejection is actually not a bad thing. It's a gift. It's a gift. And it completely changed the way that I saw it. And that's why I wrote the book, because I know there are so many people who are nursing rejection in a deep way.
Yeah.
Because rejection will change you. It changes the way you show up, the way you see yourself. You think something's wrong with you.
Yeah.
When in fact, God is working through that rejection in order to make you into the person that he ultimately wants you to be. There is power in it, and he will use it for your good and his glory.
I think the first thing that I thought of, I've never thought of it in this way until you said it. We've heard the story of David our whole lives, right? Especially if you grow up in church, you know the story of David. It's one of the first stories they teach you about. But it sounds like when you read it, I'm like, oh, okay, David wasn't defending his family. He was defending the one that was with him in the fields, the one that was with him when he was up against the lion, the one that was up against the bear. And it produced a confidence he had in the Lord.
Yes. Yes.
And I think that, and I can only resonate with that because I know that I've been through that.
Yes.
Like,
yes,
you can come out of that wilderness or isolation or rejection mm-hmm. confident because God has been with you. You know what I mean?
Like David said it to Saul, First Samuel 17, verse 32. He justified the reason why he felt he could defeat Goliath is he said, the Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine. It is God. He didn't have his father out there in that field. His brothers weren't out in that field. Yep. When those lions and bears came, all he had was God.
God, yeah.
And God protected
him. Yeah. And gave him the strength to do it again. Yeah. And that, what I love also is that he wasn't bitter.
Yeah, nope, not at all.
He wasn't bitter towards mm-hmm. his brothers. He mm-hmm. wasn't bitter towards his dad. Mm-hmm. He went and did what God told him to do and empowered by God.
Yes.
Like, and I just think that that's so beautiful because he had every reason to be like, I know that with God, I can defeat this uncircumcised Philistine.
Completely.
But since y'all wanted to act funny.
Yeah.
Do it yourself.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
One of the revelations God gave me out of this that I go into a lot of detail in the book is that rejection actually positions you for purpose. Like the fact that he was left in that field and he had to depend on the Lord. He had to learn how to shepherd these sheep. He mm-hmm. would eventually become the king of Israel. He would be the chief shepherd of the nation of Israel. He learned how to do that in the field. I had an experience that I shared at the church where some years ago I was working for a really large corporation mm-hmm. and I was not hired as a spokesperson at all. Mm-hmm. But the communications team found out that I was a speaker. And so they asked me to start speaking on behalf of the company at different events and things. And I was like, sure. Well, I guess I did a good job because mm-hmm. they started to ask me to do more mm-hmm. and do media. And my manager at the time, at first she was like, oh, this is great. You're doing a great job. Well, when my performance review came around, she was like, you know, I think you're spending too much time doing all these speaking engagements. Mm. You know, you need to focus on your core work. Mind you, my rating was excellent. Mm. So it wasn't like I wasn't doing what I was supposed to do. I was doing more. So she said, I need you to focus on your core work. So you're not doing any of that anymore. You just need to focus on your work. I went to the communications team and I was like, what is going on? And they were like, I don't know. Mm. This is crazy, but we have to honor what she says. Well, you know, I thought that was it. Like she closed the door on that thing. Mm-hmm. But let me tell you how God works. So because I had been doing some different speaking engagements, people still reached out to me mm-hmm. and they were like, hey, can you speak at this event on behalf of the company? And I said to them, I can't because I'm not allowed to do that. Mm-hmm. Well, as it turned out, I went to my communications team and they were like, well, as long as you don't, you know, like use your company title, mm-hmm. you can do the engagements yourself. Mm-hmm. When I was speaking on behalf of the company, I couldn't get paid. Mm-hmm. But when I started to speak as Nona Jones, I could get paid.
Okay.
And so what happened was she closed that door and mm-hmm. I had so much pain and I felt so rejected in that moment. But what was happening is she closed that door so that God could direct my attention to where he wanted me to go, mm-hmm. which I never would have gone down that path.
Because you weren't raised in church, were mm-hmm. you? You didn't.
So. I became a minister eventually, but I was not thinking of being a speaker at all. That's not something I
But even from a little girl, were you in church? I'm assuming your mom didn't take it. And so how did you get to even knowing God? Like, how did you even get to that point? Because after so much rejection, it would produce every reason in you to believe that God wasn't real and God is awful. And why would he allow this to happen? Because there are those who do believe in that or who do believe that. And I know that I'm going to keep it a buck. I've been in situations where I'm like, I've been raised in church my whole life, but I've still doubted God.
Yeah.
I still have had questions in my walk, you know, since I grew up in church from that point all the way through my 20s. And I've questioned God at points in my life and been like, how are you real, but you're letting this happen? Mm-hmm. Or how, you know? Mm-hmm. And so for someone who didn't grow up in church, how did you get to the place where you believed and knew that God was real?
I don't know how I learned to do this, so I can't even tell somebody how to do mm-hmm. it, but I've just always believed that God is good. Mm. And so when I experienced those rejections, instead of it drawing me away from God, it actually drew me closer to him. When I felt isolated, when I felt alone, I would turn to God in prayer. I would bring my pain to him in prayer. I would be very, very blunt. Like, Lord, this is how I feel about this situation. Through tears, I would express, this is how it hurt me. And I knew that he was hearing me. Like I knew I could trust God. And so that's why I think I've been able to hear the voice of God, even in times of pain, where I'm like, I know you're good. Your nature is to be good. So I don't understand this, but I'm going to bring it to you and I'm going to pray with you so that you'll help me come to a place of understanding because your word makes the promise that you'll work everything together for my good. And so I'm leaning on that promise. Now I want to see you make it happen. That's what I would do.
So even though going through that, your childhood and all the rejection that you experienced, what would you say is the thing outside of knowing that God was good, right? And knowing that he was with you, what keeps you? What keeps you in that knowing? Because I was telling you this in the kitchen earlier. I believe that a lot of people believe in Jesus. I believe that a lot of people believe in God. And I also know that I believe in a lot of people. I believe that Barack Obama exists. I believe he has a wife named Michelle and two daughters. I believe that Beyonce is real and she has a husband and three children and she's an amazing singer. But the difference is I don't know any of them. And I think that we have come to a place where Christianity, spirituality is a trend. And I also see it as a mercy of God because he's allowing people to have a hunger for something more. They are desiring something more, answers that they don't have. They're on a quest to find something, right? And a lot of people are being led to Christianity. But I don't know if a lot of people are being led to the knowledge of him. And that's it's good. One thing to believe, right? You believe that God was good, but then it's another thing to know that he's good. So what keeps you in that knowing? Like what was the moment for you where like, I know, I know him and I know that he's real. And then what keeps you in that knowing?
Man, I so resonate with David's story because it was in those times of isolation, even as a child by myself, that I came to know who God is because he's all I had. That makes the difference. Like, I didn't have brothers and sisters to talk to about my stuff. I didn't have other family members to talk to about my stuff. I didn't have other adults to talk to about my stuff. So I spent time with God when I was 12. Like, I mean, I got, I started going to church when I was 11, accepted Jesus as Lord of my life when I was about 12.
Love that.
Started reading the Bible, like was on fire for God. I read the Bible by myself when I was 12.
Wow.
And so praying to God and just spending that time with him made the difference. That's how I got to know him. You know, using the examples you gave, it's like, yes, we know of the Obamas. We know of Beyonce and Jay-Z, but we believe that they exist, but we don't know who they are because we don't spend time with them.
Yes.
That makes the difference. And God is not, you know, a fly-by-night, drive-by experience. Like, you have to actually tarry, spend time with him in prayer, find that quiet time, get away. We have to get to a place that we stop having intermediaries with God. Because first of all, the priesthood has been restored. Like, let me just pause there for a minute. So we seem to believe that it is a pastor or minister who is our intermediary with God. Like, we have to go to them for prayer. We have to go to them
for a word.
And it's like, no, the Bible tells us that when Christ gave up the ghost, that the veil that separated the holy from the holies of holies in the temple was torn from top to bottom. It was ripped in two, which means that we now have direct access to God. We don't have to go through anybody. Which is why we have to spend that time. It's not about, well, let me wait for Bible study on Wednesday or I'll wait till we go to church on Sunday. It's like, no. Like, we are the priests. We are the intercessors, the intermediaries. So It's spending time with God. And I think that as I look back on it again, man, every rejection serves a purpose. I was rejected as a child. I was isolated. I was left alone so much that all I had is God.
Yeah.
So when David talks about, you know, it was the Lord who protected me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. I know exactly what that means because I didn't have anybody in the house protecting me from my mom's boyfriend. I didn't even have anybody in the house protecting me when my mom was trying to strangle me. All I had was the Lord. And so I believe in him and I know him because I've spent time with him.
Yeah.
And I would just encourage people when those rejections happen, instead of looking inward and asking the question, what's wrong with me?
Yeah.
We have to discipline ourselves to look upward and say, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? That's a different posture.
And it's hard. I know that that's hard. I know because I have lived a life where I have felt, like I said, it wasn't until I heard you preach where I started to look back at my life and feel like, oh, okay, that was rejection. That was rejection. I felt that. And but not knowing how to put language to it. Like when you have a parent, you know, that lives down the block for you from you and he doesn't come and see you for a year. I never even knew like my dad was down the block at a certain point in my life. Now I have a great relationship with my dad now, but at that time, you know, feeling that as a child and not knowing how to articulate that, not knowing how to process that feeling of rejection. But I was always, I was that kid that was always just a Jesus freak. I just loved God. I was always in church and I just loved it. But leaning, just looking back on that time and just knowing that I was kept and held and that all of the things that I experienced because of the result of rejection. So like suicidal thoughts that I've had and suicidal attempts that I've had and depression that I have felt and the anxiety that I have felt probably stemmed from those times of rejection and knowing how God has kept my life. And so, and those are things that like you said, David, nobody was out there in the field with David. Nobody was with you when your mom's boyfriend abused you, when your mom abused, nobody was there but you. But God saw all of it. And looking back on how many times my life could have been taken and that he saved me. And then I go back to 2023, that was just last year, and look at all the opportunities that I had to take my life.
Yeah.
And how he kept me. Yeah. And he only kept me because I had this trust in him and I stayed consistent in this word. And that's what helped me know him more.
Yes.
By sitting with him, sometimes with nothing to say, just tears, but tears that he will interpret.
Yeah.
Interpret every one of them. And then learning his word and built it. It strengthened my faith. It strengthened the knowing that he's real.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
He was so real. And what could you say for people who are, because like you said, we're, that veil was torn, so we have direct access to God. But church community is important, right? Leadership is important. So what would you encourage people on finding those right leaderships, finding those right communities and churches that will help you get in, like you're knowing him, help you and lead you to knowing him more and knowing that and helping you to learn how to go to him and not feel like you have to wait for Sunday or wait for midweek service or wait for the pastor to lay hands on you or wait for this like outer miraculous thing to happen. You know, what are the things that people need to look for? Because I feel like people have a hunger now for God.
So I'm going to say something that may take us in a different direction, but, and I pray people receive it. Look for a church where God is God, not the pastor. Where God is God. A church where people are longing to be close to God, not the pastor. There's a big difference.
There's a huge difference.
We are in a culture where everybody is looking on social media to see who's popping, who's trending, you know? And we have to be careful. Look, I'm in pastoral ministry. My husband and I pastor a church. we have to be very careful as pastors that we are so transparent that when people see us, they see Jesus.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I am not the show.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I believe, and I say this on my platform often, is like, I don't care how many followers I have. If they're not following Jesus through me, that's a problem. Like, I'm meant to be a conduit. Like, you have to connect with the church community where God is God. And if it's a place where everybody is just so eager to be in the presence of the pastor, beware. Mm. Beware. Mm. Because there's no human being walking this earth who has a heaven or a hell to put you in.
Well,
and only in places where God is the celebrity will you find the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
Peace, joy, long-suffering, hope, love. Like, that's where you're going to find it.
Yeah.
And so I think just be very careful that you guard your heart so that you don't get caught up in places where the pastor is God and not God.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to be able to find healing and deliverance.
Yeah.
Because I can promise you this, God is not operating in a place where he is not on the throne. His power is not flowing in a place where he is relegated to the second chair. And so if you want to be in the transformative power of God, you want to be in that place, you got to be in a place where God is God.
And to be in a place where you're led by someone, especially if you're not matured in your faith, right? Because there's so many people that are not matured in the faith. I'm still maturing in my faith every day. But if someone that is leading you doesn't have a reverential fear of the Lord, that is not the place that you need to be at, because there is a difference in how you lead when you have a reverential fear of the Lord.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
And you are like this passage in Deuteronomy, I think it's Deuteronomy 27, where it says to be careful to obey all of his commandments.
Yes.
And in order to be careful to obey all of his commandments, and then bringing in another scripture where it says, consider him in all your ways. In order to do those things, you have to have this reverential fear of him.
Oh, yes.
And I think we have lost the fear, the reverential fear of God.
Yeah.
We love Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We believe in Jesus, but we have no fear of the Lord. And it's not a fear to be scared.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of time, and where we are right now, I feel like we, people who are communicators of the gospel in any way, whether it's on a platform, whether it's on TikTok, YouTube, or Instagram, wherever, I feel like there has been this watering down of the word to appease people so that they're comfortable and so that we don't lose followers and so that we're not canceled or any of that. And so we have to be careful about saying the fear of the Lord, but it's the fear of the Lord, not in a scared way, but there is a difference in a reverential fear.
Yes.
And I guess my question is, why have we lost that?
Oh.
Why has the church lost that?
Oh, well, I would say that the easy answer is because it's been prophesied.
Yeah. It's going to happen.
The easy answer is because the Bible is true, and we are definitely in a state of falling away. This idea of just, God is, Jesus is my homeboy, it's cool, whatever.
Which
I think the idea of reverential fear is so critical.
Mm.
But I think we don't have that fear because we don't have an eternity mindset. Like, when you're thinking about the temporal, when you're thinking about today, when you're thinking about your earthly life, then you can get caught up in followers. You can get caught up in celebrity culture. You can get caught up in, you know, doing it for the gram and all of that. When you have an eternity mindset, what you realize is, so John Bevere, he has an incredible book called Driven by Eternity.
I'm about to read that next.
Listen,
I'm finishing all of God.
Did I tell you about that book? Yes. When we had lunch? Was that yes. Okay? Okay.
So I'm reading all of, I read Beta Satan, which changed my life.
Girl.
And I tell everyone, it's on my Amazon like storefront. Go yes. get that book. And then I'm reading All of God, which is.
Yes. Yes. Just have you on your face. Like,
just
yes, God.
That.
Yes, Lord.
Okay. And yes. So Driven by Eternity is my next one.
So he makes a statement in the book that is so powerful. When you think about the infinity mm-hmm. is forever, right? It's all of the past and all of the future. Mathematically, infinity isn't even a number. It's like a concept of everything. And so it's every number. Any number divided by infinity is zero, right? The reason why that matters is because infinity represents eternity.
Mm-hmm.
So if you live 500 years, divide that by eternity and it's zero.
Mm.
When you have that eternity mindset, which is, it doesn't matter how long I live, it doesn't matter in the big scheme of things, but you also realize that your rewards, your eternal rewards are literally based on what you do with the time that you have. Mm. You're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and you're going to give an account for how you spent every second of your life. When you have that mindset.
Does that not put chills? It puts chills through my body.
Listen, I think it's in Matthew 7. The most sobering scripture ever, you know, people who are, you know, healing in the name of Jesus, mm-hmm. prophesying and doing all these good deeds in the name of Jesus. And he looks at them and he says, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. The thought of that, the thought
makes me sick.
Of building churches, multiple campuses, speaking to crowds of 50,000, 100,000, New York Times bestselling author, the thought of knowing all these celebrities and having all these money and flying on private jets. And you get to the judgment seat of Christ and he says, I'm sorry, you are.
Do you know how, I could cry. That's scary.
I shudder. That's where the reverential fear of God comes from. I think of that every day.
Yeah.
Lord, I want my life to please you.
Yep.
Father, if nobody ever knows my name, that's okay.
Yep, that's okay.
I am shocked. Every time I meet somebody and they're like, Nona, I'm like, I am shocked because I live my life to please him.
Yeah.
I am thinking about the judgment seat every day.
Every day.
Because we don't know the day nor the hour and we get so caught up in being the best, having the biggest platform, speaking at the biggest conferences, you know, knowing the most powerful people.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. I don't know why it just always brings me to tears because having a platform and influence is nothing that I ever prayed for. I've never prayed for this. I never prayed any of this. And because I know that scripture. And I was on the floor last night praying, crying out to God. And I said, God, if there's ever a moment where you see me compromising, take my life because I don't want to stand before you. And you say to me, you did all these great things, but I don't know you.
Yeah.
I said, I never want to get to a place of influence where I have compromised the intimacy that I have built with you. When nobody else was around, when everyone rejected me, when they villainized me, when they talked bad about me, when they went around and told everybody I was evil, you were the only one that was there comforting me.
Yes, Lord.
Telling me that I was loved, telling me that, you know, you had my back, you know? And so I never want to get to a place of influence where I compromise that. Ever.
Yes.
Because I can never stand before him and tell me that he doesn't know. Like, it breaks my heart.
Mm.
And it breaks my heart because I know that there are so many that are going to stand before him who have done amazing things, who have led churches, who have led conferences, who have spoken to hundreds and thousands of people. And they're gonna stand before him and he's gonna say, I don't know you.
They're gonna be the people who everybody knows. Who may make it in, but will have very few rewards. And you're gonna look and be like, but didn't you do all? But it'll burn up. Like, it'll literally burn up because it wasn't for Christ, it was for self. You know, I often marvel, because we're on the same wavelength. Like, I didn't pray for none of this.
Yeah.
I didn't ask God for none of this. I marvel at it And it makes me, it scares me because it's like, God, why are you trusting me with this? Like
me,
like, Lord. And my prayer is, Lord, please never let me grow beyond my character.
Yeah.
God, I want to only grow to the point that my character can keep me honoring you.
Yeah.
Like, help me, God.
Yeah.
I remember some years ago, I had always wanted, this is when the Lord was dealing with me, I had wanted somebody who had like a platform to like share a post, because I was like, then people will follow me. And like, it never happened. And I was like, okay with that. But I was like, man, if only somebody would put me on. Look, God has grown my platform. Girl, no advertising. Not out here trying to get followed. God has done it.
Yeah.
So he gets the glory.
Yeah.
And that's the
thing. That's what he wants.
He doesn't share his glory. Like, he doesn't share his glory. And so we.
And that's an indicator to know how it's God.
Yes.
When you know, because you're like, it can't, I don't know how this person got here.
I don't know how it happened. And what we do is we like position ourselves and try to posture ourselves to get noticed by people.
Yeah.
And it's like, in fact, you just need to live a life that honors God.
Yeah.
Because when God elevates you, when God enlarges your territory, he gets the credit. He is not looking at you like, yeah, connect with that person so they can be like, look who I put on. No. As a matter of fact, if God really loved you, oh, this is the part we talk about rejection.
Mm.
If God really loves you, he's going to close every door that you've been trying to walk through in hopes that that would be the win, because he wants to make it crystal clear that it was him.
And that's it.
And you'll be sitting around here like, dang, nothing's working. Exactly.
No. When
exactly.
When I tell you, I know this to be true because of what I've walked through in the last year, the doors that have been shut, the people that have left, the things that have gone, because God has been very clear. One, it will be me that gets all the glory. It's not going to be who you're connected to.
Yeah.
It's not going to be who you're standing next to. It's not going to be who endorsed you. It's not going to be any of that. It's going to be me.
Yeah.
And then two, it puts me in a position to trust him. And I remember God telling me this clearly. I want you to live a life where you're trusting me, like for your daily bread, because it puts you in a position to really trust him. Because if I give you everything at once, then you just will eat off of that.
Yeah.
And then what? But if you trust me for your daily bread, so you wake up every day saying, I don't know, God, whatever you say, I trust that whatever I need, you will provide. It puts me in this position of just trusting and needing and leaning on him in a way.
Yes.
It forces me to go in my word. It forces me to pray. It forces me to talk to my children about God. It forces me to implement that even in how I raise them and their discipline and all of it, because I need him daily. I mean, daily. And even with this platform, like the things that have occurred, I'm like, I can't believe that I'm doing this, but it has not been because I planned it out.
No.
This podcast happened in 2 weeks. No lie. The in totality started, Jay's nodding his head. In totality started in 2 weeks from the website to the logo to in 2 weeks. I had nothing planned because God said, trust me.
Yeah.
And that's how you know that he has his hand on it and he can get all the glory. And two, I was praying this last night. I said, God, I want you to trust me because I want you to know. Like, I want you to look at me and be like, I know I can trust her with that because I know that she'll give me all the glory.
Yes.
I know she won't give it to anybody else, not even herself.
Even now, it's funny. Like, we're having this conversation. The Spirit is speaking to me as we're having this conversation. I'm like laughing internally because I love being transparent. So, you know, my book, The Gift of Rejection, coming out in September. And we published one of the sermons on my YouTube last year. And this thing, it's like, I don't know, a million views, like tens of thousands of comments. People every day are just like, this message has changed my life.
Yeah, it did.
I've had people of other faiths choose Jesus because of this message. Now, here's the funny thing. As I saw that, like picking up, like even when we would post a clip on Instagram, it'd get like a million, 2 million Facebook, all this stuff views. And I saw that and I was telling my publisher, I was like, wow, like it just seems like God's hand is on this message. What's the plan to promote the book?
Mm-hmm.
And my publisher team is great. And they were kind of like, oh, you know, we'll get to it. We get to whatever. Mm-hmm. And I was feeling this like, we got to do something. We got to do something. There's like all this momentum. We got to do something. Yeah. And God has been dealing with me because God is like, you didn't have nothing to do with any of this. Mm. Why are you trying to put your hands on what I'm doing? Why are you trying to strategize to make this a bestseller? Mm. I don't care if 5 people read the book. Those 5 people will be the ones who needed the book. So Jesus. Why are you trying to put your Jesus. Hands on what I have done?
Yeah.
And I've had to been like, well, Lord, hey, take your hands. All right, Father, whatever happens, happens.
When I tell you,
okay,
this podcast ain't my podcast, y'all. This is not my podcast. I literally, and I bring Brandy up a lot because I talk to her a lot about me not knowing what I'm doing. Jay and Jordan too, but Brandy helps me so much like with administratively and just the logistics of stuff. And I'm so thankful. I'm just like, God, whatever you say. I'm not on social media like that. Mm-hmm. I hate promoting myself. Mm-hmm. I find it, I don't know why. I just, and that's a confidence thing that God just has to continue to work with me on. But, but just same as you, like no promotion, mm-mm. like I'll put out the clips, but the way that God, I think the transparency yes. of yes. this walk, because yes. I'm really just not trying to fake it. Because right. I can't.
I can't. And like, I don't want to. Like, that takes too much energy. It's like, I just want to do and be who God has called me to be. And here's the thing. If people like it, great. And if they don't, great. Because it's just, it's me.
Yeah.
It's not a pretense or performance.
Yeah.
I'm not.
And when we talked about this and I was like, we want to do this because God has called us to do it. Right. But we don't want to. You
right, think right, we want right,
that?
Right.
The Bible says that leaders will be judged harsher.
Oh, girl.
You listen. Think that, the, like, anybody who is happy to be in this position and just want to be and just love this, love that. I'm like, you should be wary of those people because that's when you really know the cost.
There's accountability. Like the more to whom much is given, much is required. And so this idea that I want the platform, I want the notoriety, the visibility, the celebrity. Well, that just means that you're required to do more and be more and represent God
and
at a higher level.
And be disciplined more.
So here's the thing. And this is, again, going in a little bit of a different direction, but I've been studying the fact that so many, and you know, we're in a season where a lot of successful people are falling. And they're falling because of this idea of temptation. Now, here's the thing. People think that temptation is just when something is presented to you, right? But the Bible says that a man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed, right? So it's not that something is presented to you. It's that you were drawn to it because you already had a lust for it, right? Yep. And so that's why my prayer is, Lord, don't take me any further than my character can keep me. Cause look, the heart is wicked,
deceitful.
You hear me? Like, I don't know what all's in there. God does.
Right.
So I'm like, God, keep me where I need to be kept. Right. And so the more that God gives to you, the more cognizant you have to be of your frailties and your weaknesses, because the enemy is studying you like a game of chess. And he knows every move that you're about to make. He's 5 moves down the road from you. Like, you think you're so smart. And he's like, oh yeah, I know how this plays out. Cause it's been playing like this for centuries and millennia. And so we have to know ourselves. But what's happening is so many people are drawn to the platform and the glory and the celebrity and what it looks like, that they're not dealing with the real issues, which is the heart.
Yes.
There's lust inside of the heart that will draw you
and
into
talk
things.
About that, because people think lust is just sexual. Mm-hmm. And that's not what lust is. It's
lust
not
is
just
desire.
It's just the fleshly desire.
It's fleshly desire. That's what it is. And so that's why our heart has got to be toward the Father.
Yes.
Like our longing has to be for the Father and for his will, not for anything on earth, because that creates the seed for temptation to happen, because you will be enticed. What will happen is that lust, that desire will draw you away and then you will be enticed.
Yep.
And that's when compromise happens.
Lord,
when you have the opportunity, because your lust has already drawn you away. So no, we have to surrender that to God daily. That's what crucifying the flesh is it's crucifying the lusts of the flesh.
Yeah.
What is it that I desire that is anything other than Jesus?
Yeah.
I got to crucify that every day.
And that's something that I often have to, I encourage people with and have to remind myself, like anything, like think of the thing that you love the most, that you just treasure the most. Mm. And if God were to require that of you, what would be your first answer? Would there be hesitation? Would there be delay in obedience? Mm-hmm. What is your response? The thing that you want the most, and you get it, and then he requires it back from you. Or the thing that you want the most and he says no.
Yeah.
What is your response to that?
Yeah.
And that will tell you the level of intimacy and knowing that you have with God. Yeah. And that will also help you to pray and say, God, help me.
Yeah.
Because I don't want anything more than I want you.
Yes.
I don't want it. After what I have been through, I was telling Jay and Jordan this last night after coming from church. I was like, it creates this level of desperation that I cannot explain.
Yeah.
But I just so desire because I've met with him.
Yes.
I've been in his presence.
Yes.
He has loved on me in ways that I have never been loved. Yeah. And it creates this desperation for him that I need him. So whatever you require from me, God, I give it to you.
Yes.
Whatever that is, if it's a relationship, I'll give that to you. Mm-hmm. If it's a friendship, you can have it. If it's a habit, you can have it. If it's my time, you can have it.
Yeah.
Whatever you require from me. And I know that this is, has been my word for this year is that I can't say in 2024, you're going to get more. 2024, more open doors. I don't know what the thing, whatever. All I can say is in 2024, you better be obedient and do it quickly.
My word for 2024 is surrender.
Mm.
That's my word. It's like surrender, God. Whatever you are calling me to is done.
Yeah.
It's done. I was talking to my husband a couple of weeks ago. I have a beautiful home. I love my home. And I told my husband, I said, if God tells me to sell this house, we're leaving. Like I'm at that place where it's just like exactly what you said, which is God, whatever you require of me, I will do it.
Yeah.
I will do it because you're all I want.
That's
like
it.
In you, I have
everything
I need. Everything. And so why would I hang on to anything that's going to atrophy, decay? You know, I was thinking also how, you know, many times we aspire to win awards, right? Mm-hmm. You think about, you know, I think the Oscars just happened and people, they get so excited about the idea of winning an Oscar or a Grammy or something. It's like, well, while that's awesome, it's also annual.
Yeah.
Like every year, there's going to be another competition, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yet in God, it's done.
Yeah.
Like there's nothing you could do to win the love of God more next year than you did this year.
Yeah.
Like it's done. And so I'm like, Lord, I don't want to be in a rat race.
Yeah.
I don't want to be in a rat race.
Yeah.
I just want to serve you and whatever you require of me for that. That's what I'll do.
I love that. Oh, that's man, I feel like we could talk forever because I just love you and I appreciate your transparency.
Oh, I appreciate
your vulnerability. Even privately, you were so transparent and vulnerable with me. And I appreciate that because you don't come across people that can really just be normal. And you know what I mean? Just be a human being that is vulnerable because, you know, we live in a wicked world and it's hard to know who to trust. It's hard to know who you can place your trust in. It's hard to know who you can be vulnerable with because the second somebody makes you mad, they'll run off and tell everybody your business and weaponize your most vulnerable seasons and your most vulnerable times and villainize you and do all sorts of things. And I've experienced that and it puts a damper on your trust. But I prayed that God would send godly people in my life. And out of nowhere, you texted me or DM'd me and I had DM'd you after hearing you preach.
Yeah.
And then you had came across my page and you were just kind. and I just appreciate you. And just the time that you took to sit with me and just hear me and love on me and encourage me and share with me too. And I appreciate you.
But let me tell you why I did that. Right around the time that I reached out to you, I had been praying to God. I was like, Lord, help me to encourage who needs to be encouraged. Mm. Like that was my prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a post that you made and I saw it And the Holy Spirit like made me like laser focused on it, like encourage her. And I didn't know. So here's the thing people don't know. I don't know a lot about pop culture. Like I didn't know what was going on in your world, your life. Yeah. I didn't know any of that. Yeah. All I know is the Holy Spirit said, encourage her. And so I reached out to you and we got a chance to meet and talk and all that. And I just want you to know that God's hand is all over you.
Thank you.
Like all over you. He has favored you. You are not just a voice, you are an example. And that's the difference. There are so many people who are posting all types of things about, you know, how good God is, but you are an example of his goodness. And we need that. So stay on the battlefield, girl. I am proud of you. I'm rooting for you. You are my sister and I
love
you. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Man, of course I'm gonna cry because I'm a freaking crybaby. I cry all the time, y'all. Sorry. I used to never cry, but I'm allowing myself to do it more because I know I used to never, you know, let myself do that. But thank you. Thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah, man, I don't even know how to end this, but I did have some questions, but I don't want to go too long. But thank you. Thank you. And I pray you guys were able to get something from this. There was so much encouragement from weight loss to from your physical health to your spiritual health. We were able to cover so much. And I pray that that God spoke to you, spoke to your heart. And I pray that you're not the same for the better after watching this. And make sure you follow Nona and all that she's doing. I'm sure you will you can promise, or I can promise you, and you can be sure to know that I will be talking about her book when it comes out in September and sending copies to everyone. And I know because it changed my life. That message changed my life. And I know it's going to change so many people's lives. So make sure you guys follow Nona and everything that she's doing.
Hey, everybody. My name is Nona Jones, and I am so honored to be a guest on In Totality with my homegirl, Megan Ashley. I want to make you aware of a really special event that I'm hosting this September 8th through the 11th called the Success from the Inside Out Retreat. This retreat is 4 days and 3 nights of impartation and encouragement that is going to help every current and aspiring woman leader unlock that next level of leadership impact and purpose that God has placed on the inside of you. Listen, I have a dynamic lineup of world-class speakers and success coaches who are going to come alongside of you for our time together at the beautiful Vinoy Resort and Golf Club on the water at St. Petersburg, Florida. And you can head over to nonajones.com/retreat to get registered today. But here's the thing, because you are a viewer of In Totality, because you are a regular supporter of In Totality, you get access to an exclusive discount using the code IT100. You will get $100 off of the registration, and registration includes your lodging, most of your meals, and access to all sessions. So again, head over to nonajones.com/retreat and use discount code IT100 to take advantage of this offer. I hope to see you there.
Your Instagram is at Nona Jones, right?
It's at Nona, not Nora.
At Nona, not Nora. Why did you?
Okay, so listen.
I actually was wondering why is that your Instagram name?
My maiden name was Collins.
Okay.
And when I was Nona Collins, like, I never got called Nora. But when I got married and it became Jones, Nora Jones is like this really famous, you know, music artist. Mm. And so people would just call me Nora Jones all the time. Well, I was in Australia once. That's I was speaking hilarious. At this conference and I was backstage and the MC was introducing me. And he literally said, she's a Grammy Award winning artist, singer, songwriter from the United States of America. Give it up for Nora Jones. And so I had to walk out and be like, clearly I'm not this white woman jazz musician.
No.
I'm so sorry if you came here. Thinking I was like, don't know why. No, I'm sorry.
But she can sing, y'all. So don't let her fool you. Go to her Instagram. She can sing. Do not let Nona fool y'all because she can sing.
That's hilarious. Nona, not Nora.
Okay, so make sure you guys, and that's all your platforms.
All platforms.
Make sure you guys follow her. Her name is Nona, not Nora. Okay. And make sure you guys follow subscribe on YouTube, follow the Instagram page, follow In Totality and my page on Instagram, and go to my Patreon. We have some bonus content of Nona on my Patreon. Go there now. Go there. What'd you say, Jay? Oh, Jay said she's fire. Yeah, she's fire. The bonus content was fire. Jay said it was fire. I haven't seen it yet, but I know Nona and I know that she always comes with a good word and I know it's going to be fire. So listen, if you haven't joined my Patreon, all bonus content is on there. The In Totality docuseries where you can see me live this walk out, like it, in really in real time. And I pray that that encourages you. That's all on Patreon. Bible. We're starting Bible studies soon, discipleship soon. We're doing live Zooms. All of that is on my Patreon. So make sure you go to my website, www.themeganashley.com. You can find the links on there. My Amazon storefront, if you want to know and have materials to help you grow a deeper relationship with God, all the study materials that I used is on my Amazon storefront. Nona's book is going to be on there because I know it's going to be fired. I'm going to be sending it to everybody. That's going to be on there. Devotionals that I have read, books that I've read, the books that we mentioned today mm-hmm. from John Brevere, those books are on there. So head over to that. And yeah, I love you guys and I'll see you next week.
Hey, you guys, before you go, I just wanted to say how grateful I am for your love and support. If you've enjoyed this episode, please take a moment and share it with a friend or a family member. If you could do me one huge favor, head over to Apple Podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and a heartfelt review. It helps others just like you discover the podcast. You guys, let's continue to spread the inspiration. For more about me and the podcast, visit www.themeganashley.com. Until next time, stay encouraged that you are so valued and so loved.